that the grown-ups, when we have our time, over the past few years, every now and then we go through a part of Luke's gospel and we're just working through a few chapters at a time. So we started again last week in chapter 10, so we're just following through, and that's what we've been looking at today. So we're going to pick up Luke chapter 10. As I say, the expert asks two questions of Jesus, and Jesus asks some question of the expert. So listen out carefully as Mia reads to us from Luke chapter 10.
It is taken from the book of Luke chapter 10 verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Soon too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and they took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Mia, for reading that so clearly to us. Go and do likewise. That's what Jesus says at the end. Really powerful words and really challenging ones. And they come in response to the second question. We've already thought about the first question, but that second question, what was it? "And who is my neighbour?" Who is my neighbour? That was the question. Lots of the experts at that time have been talking about this, and some of them had decided it meant my neighbour are other Jews who live in the same community as me. But others of them thought, no, it must go wider than that. Surely it's got to go mean more than that. It was a genuine question. And so Jesus tells a story. Do you know, this story is so real for those who are listening to it and for people over the centuries that they think it really happened. I've heard people preach on this as if it really happened. It was a story to drive home the main point at the end. Anyone who needs help is my neighbour. Anyone is my neighbour. See, when Jesus told the story 2,000 years ago, everybody who was listening, they knew the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem is above sea level. It's up in the hills and mountains. It's 750 metres, all right, above sea level. That's high when you think of a 400-metre running track, isn't it? And Jericho, well, that was down near the Dead Sea, so it's 250 metres below sea level. So you can imagine it's a long journey down, and the way was narrow and winding, and there were lots of rocks and things and places for bandits and thieves to hide. If someone was attacked and their things stolen, it was no surprise at all. But what was a surprise, as Jesus told this story, is that this traveller goes alone. You know, if you know there's a possibility of thieves and bandits, then you go with others, don't you? Surely you go with others. That was the first surprise. And then, as he tells the story, second surprise. A priest, like one of God's servants. He takes a look and passes quickly by on the other side. Do you know, he's a priest, and in their way of coming close to God, if the person had died and he touched him, well, he wouldn't be able to do all the worship rituals in the temple, and so he hurries on by. Surprise number 3 for all those listening. They would have taken a deep breath in. Another one of God's special ones takes a look as he passes by. Now, he may have had a busy time schedule, or maybe he was just like, it wasn't unknown for someone to lie down and pretend to be injured, and when you went over to help, then all the others came out and jumped on you. And so, it was too risky. It's not safe to stop, and so he hurries on down. But maybe the biggest surprise comes next. This is shock territory, because what it is the hero that Jesus chooses for his story. His hero is the last person that the people listening would ever have imagined would stop and help. The last one. For those listening to Jesus, the last person they'd think of as a hero would be a Samaritan person. You see, the Samaritans, they were like the people of Israel, but different. They lived near the people of Israel as well, but they didn't follow the commands the people of Israel followed. They were different, and so they were hated by the people of Israel. But that's the one who stops to help in Jesus' story. Now, close your eyes for a moment and just think, who is the last person that you could imagine stopping to help somebody on the roadside in need? Who's the last person you would ever imagine doing that? Yeah, you thought of them? That's the person that Jesus thought of to show what a good neighbour could be. You see, that's part of Jesus' big point here, isn't it? Living out God's law of love takes us to all people, no matter what their religious background is, no matter what their race is, no matter what their social background is, no matter what their status in life is. We show love whoever needs our help. So how do you show mercy and love to your neighbour? And I think there are a few things that we can pick up if we follow what Jesus says about the Samaritan person here. And if you've got your sheet and you like to doodle because that helps you concentrate, do that. Or you can just write down your own one. The first one is everyday compassion. We're told in verse 33, he looked and he took pity on him. The Samaritan looked at the person and he took pity on him. He saw a person in need and it moved him to action. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? You know, well, he looked and he took pity. And yet it's also easy to look and not really see someone in need. You can make your way through a busy city and you miss it. It's all so easy to see and not feel pity. Whatever it is that lowers our compassion capacity. Maybe you've exercised a lot lately and it just feels you've run low. The weariness of a pandemic can lower our compassion capacity. Being a judgmental person can lower your compassion capacity. Yet, you know, even in the shock of hearing about a Samaritan helping a Jew, there's nothing in the story about him blaming the person for the mess that they're in. There's no judgment, no, oh, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have been travelling alone or anything like that. There's no exclusion because he's different. You see, you can't be judgmental and compassionate. You can't be grumpy and critical with comments that tear into others. You know, that wouldn't come into Jesus' story with the Samaritan here, just everyday compassion. So I just say to you, what's your everyday compassion? Do you see and take pity? Does it move you inside? What would you give yourself between 1 and 5? 1 is really low, 5 is excellent, super duper. Where's your compassion capacity at the moment? You don't have to call that out, that's okay. But maybe you start a conversation with God. Can you show me the things I can do that can increase my and refresh my compassion capacity, please? Second thing is love in action. It really is action. Verse 34, it says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. He's actually getting his hands dirty. Practical action. True compassion does involve feeling and it leads to action. That's how you know it's true compassion. And in the story, this loving action means this hands-on care. It was inconvenient for him. You know, this disrupted the man's timetable for sure. It was risky, especially on that road where someone's already been attacked. But our hero goes for it. In fact, it's really costly as well, isn't it? You know, he pays for a night, the 2 denarii, and he says, you know, whatever it is, I'll stump up whatever the costs are on my way back through. Our hero goes for it. And do you know what? So can we. That's Jesus' point. What did he say at the very end? Go and do likewise. So what's that going to look like for you? Well, sometimes that can mean someone might need emotional help. You might come across somebody who's feeling sad and down, maybe because they've lost someone that they love very much. Maybe there's something else that's really tricky in their lives. Maybe you could just be the one who goes and listens to them and comforts them. Sometimes a person just needs your time and just needs to know that you care and understand. Another way we can go and do likewise is maybe there's somebody who needs spiritual help. You know, you might have somebody wondering the big questions like we had early on in the service about God, whether he exists or not, and how he came into existence, if there was nothing there, and all those other things. Maybe you're the one who can listen and make sure you've heard their questions properly. Maybe, and help them see what the good news is like and offer your answer. Help them to seek God. Let them know that God loves them, whatever, and wants to give them his peace. Maybe another way you can go and do likewise is bring in practical help, like the Samaritan here. In just a few moments, we're going to hear from a frontline focus, Caroline Herring. She's based at our Parkway site. Now, Caroline works for a charity called Hearts Welcomes Refugees. And in recent years, that has meant helping people who've moved to this country from Syria, from Iran, and now Afghanistan to build a new life in our communities. They're helping them to get mobile, to get settled in a home, learning the language, accessing medical help. It's great when one or two come along to church as well. And so we'll hear, maybe there are practical ways that we can show love in action. And with all this, do you know what? You can't beat simple kindness. You can't beat simple kindness. When Jesus asks the expert of the law, which one of the three, the priest, the Levite, the special one, or the Samaritan, was a neighbour to the man? When he says which of the three, the Good News translation of the Bible, this passage, says the one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, you go then and do the same. You know, if you think back to less than a week ago, one of the big topics of conversation that came out of a terrible act of terrorism and someone losing their life, one of the big conversation points was about the hate, the anger, the violence that comes on Twitter and other social media and people in life in general, online and in person. Simple kindness. It's what the world we live in is crying out for at the moment. Now, the thing about kindness is, if God is living in you, his spirit is living in you, then he grows something in you. He grows lots of fruit, which includes love and patience and all sorts, including kindness. But it doesn't show itself automatically. We have to work with God, and so it's worth asking yourself and allowing the Spirit of God in you to challenge you to say, was what I just said kind? If not, how would I say it again? That email I wrote, was it kind? You know, to the office at the school, to my boss, was it kind? The way I interacted with that person, was it kind? How I responded to a need, did I show kindness? Simple kindness. I was saying, from this story that Jesus tells, there's so much we can learn and be challenged by. How can we show love and mercy to a neighbour along your street or across the world? How do we do it? Everyday compassion, love in action, simple kindness. That's something worth going for, isn't it? Go and do likewise. I'm going to give the last word today on the Good Samaritan to a guy called Keith Tonder, OBE. He's an accountant by training and a Christian who stepped aside from accountancy to set up a charity called Credit Action many years ago and poured his life into helping people out of the misery of debt. He ended up being involved, you know, advising governments and all sorts. And when talking about this story, this is what Keith Tonder says, and it's really challenging. But I think he picks up a lot of what Jesus says here. Action involves risk. It's about breaking down barriers. See, when you break down barriers, that involves risk. It's about deeds, not words. About sacrifice, not respectability. It's about our lifestyle and our priorities for the rest of our lives. He doesn't hold back, does he? It's the whole of it. It's about showing the unconditional love of Jesus to all whom God puts in our path. I said the last word, but maybe I ought to give the last word to Jesus. Go and do likewise. Let's just pray, shall we, a moment. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this record of this interaction with the expert in the law. And we thank you that it comes all the way through to us today and challenges us about how much not only are we loving our Father in heaven, but how we're loving our neighbour and what that means. Help us, we pray. Come fill us with yourself that we might grow in this bit by bit by bit. Thank you, Father, for your Son who showed great compassion in going to the cross for us, who showed love in action in pouring out his life for us, whose kindness leads us back to you. Thank you that he prioritized that in the whole of his life. Help us to prioritize you and your kingdom and your love in ours. Amen.